Blog Talk Radio.
New shit. I got the new shit, the exclusive. My man Long Loke on deck. Squad life, stand up. Here we go. Long Loke, talk to him, homie.
You already know, man. Up at Smoke Radio. Drop that shit, nigga.
It's new shit, nigga.
You already know how I'm doing it, man.
Long Loke, man.
I got these bars for y'all niggas.
Let me show y'all niggas how to really do this, man.
Let's do it.
Hop up in the whip, I'm about to make a move. It's time to wake these niggas up, they keep on hitting snooze.
Yeah.
Out in the six, me and my niggas play by different rules.
Yeah.
We keep it G about these hoes, we get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
I want that bitch there, cause she got a fat
okay.
ass. Scoop her up like Mickey D's, speeding down the bad pan.
Yeah.
Couldn't even catch a plane, now I'm flying high class.
Yeah.
Gotta keep a lookout for them people up on my ass. Why you acting like you ain't a hoe with your lying ass?
Why?
Knowing you gon' top a nigga down for this damn band. Bonnie, why you fuck with her? Shorty got a flat ass. Who else gon' bust this drug for me? You? Shit, my bad.
My bad.
I just want the money, baby. Plus, I think it's funny how you criticize another bitch when you ain't getting nothing. Bitches let her down another bitch for fucking with a hustler. This shit might not be for you, baby, but all her bills caught up. Shit, let me watch you grab this half and make it bubble. When I paid your ass last time, this time I'll make it double. If somebody takes something, let me know. I'll make it trouble. And
know.
I keep that banger on me. At that time, I ain't trying to tussle.
Bye-bye.
If you skinny and you weak, get it together. Gain some muscle. Cause I'm skinny, but I'm cut. And on my soul, I can rumble. And my mother said, listen, baby, Lonnie, stay humble. It's a jungle. If you run it down their throat, don't fumble. I listen to you, mama. Blow kisses to you. If you ever need something, tell me. I'll give it to you. If I ever fall off, remind me I'm a king. And I'm bound to be successful cause it's in my fucking genes. Lately, I've been stuffing all this fucking money in my jeans.
Money.
It ain't never been a question who gon' take one for the team.
No.
Always been a dope rapper. Had to wake up from a dream. Now I made this shit reality. My bars are fatality. Used to work at Arby's. 300 was my salary.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks. Now I make that in an hour.
Yeah.
Take a picture of this king. Add it to your gallery.
Yeah.
Take a look at my life, man. I swear this shit is inspiring.
Okay.
Cuddle talking, chicken talk. Battery my flowering. When I made my first 5 bands, this shit was flattering. Cause I came from nothing. On my soul, I ain't fronting. Played the cards I was dealt. And on my soul, I ain't bluffing. Shit. You ain't never watch your mom but the jug. When she finish, you say, mom, what's the flip?
Hey, mom,
she say, look, if I give you $5, you supposed to make 10.
$10?
That's a flip. Took the 5 and you do that shit again.
Oh.
I was taught to hustle, I just ain't know this shit at the moment.
Okay.
Don't front me shit, I don't want owe you shit, I don't want it.
Okay.
If it's worked down, I'm going for it. Nah, I ain't punting.
Okay.
If your money's short, give me what you got, but I ain't fronting.
Okay.
I don't beef with niggas, I stay to myself and get money.
Money.
If you try to rob me, crash, you a dummy.
Bow.
You can't ball like me, cause you ass and it's funny.
Sweet.
And I like my money crippin', talking all blue hunnids. If you hear this in a party, know the whole joint jumping. If you pull up on my niggas, know the whole crew dumping.
Yeah.
Killing niggas for no reason. Might as well be Donald Trumpin'.
Yeah.
Cause my gun for self-defense and I am not nigga hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got picture perfect verses for your nerves. Guy, anything I spit, you can picture it through a bird's eye. Hey, bitch, I hit acting different now when she curved, guy.
Yeah.
She don't answer calls, just text messages, one word, guy. Black Rob gon' have to contact the niggas.
Hit me up,
record
man.
Labels gon' wanna come sign a contract with niggas.
Nah.
I gave handouts and still ain't get my arm back from niggas.
Pussy.
Recorded tracks and still ain't get my songs back from niggas.
Pussy.
Tell me what's wrong with these niggas, they are snakes. I'm about to hit my lawn with these clippers. Lately I drink all my pain away. It's all in my liver cause I get it from the mud. I'm a dog, how you figure, nigga?
Yeah, baby.
Office Smoke Radio. We're back like we never left. Every Thursday here at 6 o'clock on the Up and Smoke Radio Network. Peace to everybody out there, all the listeners. I want to give a shout out to my people in motherfucking Norway, man. Norway representing everybody in Sweden. Where's the other list at? Finland. And oh, everybody else. I don't even consider that the UK, people from the UK. I want to look a shout out to y'all. What's going on? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I'm here. Ready to stir the pot. I'm feeling hella good today. Popping my collar. Nigga might fuck around and relapse today. If y'all don't know, I've been in the program. Actually, I already did that. But nigga got his license today, people. Oh, shit. I'm driving. I'm Legal Eagle. I'm part of the license society. But I really got to just say something real quick because I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. I mean, after today, I feel validated. I feel like people were trying to hold me back. I feel like I want to just say some things to some people. Shout out to my dad that didn't get me that gift for Christmas, my nigga. You know I wanted that video game. Shout out to that teacher. You know what? Because I just want to say this to everybody to help me back, damn it.
B, I'm feeling it from the heart now, B. Yo, straight up, yo, this murder, Harlem World is the clique. I'm with my nigga Killer, and we about to lay it down for y'all niggas. All y'all faggot-ass niggas out there that want to give us $300 for the tape and make a demo, fuck y'all niggas. All y'all bitches that went and suck my dick when I was making better, fuck y'all bitches. And all y'all bitches that want to fuck my nigga Huddy Cone because he roll with me, fuck y'all bitches. And all y'all niggas that fucked around and made my nigga blood can't be here, popping them niggas, man. Fuck y'all niggas.
Fucking Russell. Never let me gamble with play numbers. You ain't talking about fucking too young. What about that fucking transit cop who was there every time I had to fuck out the train? Want to play like he fucking ran the whole station. Like he had to run the whole fucking shit. Oh, so yeah. Yeah, to that teacher who failed me. To that bitch who never bailed me. Yeah, he said I wasn't getting out, right, bitch? No, I got out. Fuck you. Plus, she never gave me no bread. Plus, she never gave me no hay. And your pussy was so whack, it was whack, B. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah, you thought I wouldn't go pro. Now I'm out fucking your hoe. Fuck you. But I know these bitches want to say fuck these niggas too, right? He wants you to lick his balls. But yo, his dick is small. So that nigga, fuck you. Fuck him, B. Yeah, he always wanna come beat it. But the nigga never wanna eat it. Fuck that nigga. Camera eat it. I really don't care.
Okay,
fuck him. He never spends a dime. Never come home on time.
Just know where I'm going with that. But again, all jokes aside, I got my shit. I'm here. Live a wiggle smoky, and that's what it is. And with that being said, I'm going to bring on the awesome tune.
Hey,
go,
the go,
yeah, baby.
So, sisters, talk to me and I'll talk back.
What's up, Dre? Dr. O'Call in the building.
What's going on?
You know the chocolate smoke here. Wait, what up, smoke?
Chocolate smoke,
nigga?
Like in the building.
As always.
Congratulations, your details.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Had to pop my collar real quick.
Pop your collar. It seemed like you're in your feelings over there. Shout out to everybody else, though.
I just thought as though that I felt like I was being held back after them telling me no for years and years and years. I just got down deep down in my feelings, like that everybody just told me no. I just wanted to get that off and just say, you know, fuck y'all, because I'm driving, bitches.
I'm not. Finally caught up.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Outrageous, nigga. Outrageous. Oh, ain't nobody trying to hold you back but you. Who held back your license? Or did you never try for it? We need to know. We need to know these things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happened was I never had my license. You did what I said. I was living life like an outlaw. I was living rough. I was living raw out here on these streets. I ain't give a fuck. Then I fuck around on that shit, caught a DUI that was pretty much a decade ago. You know what I'm saying? I sat it out with no infractions of the law, no driving infractions. I get a letter in the mail. They said I could get my shit back. Went ahead and got my shit back after, well, I never had it, but after a decade, legally allowed to drive. So I'm a business bitch. We out here.
Yeah,
we out here. What's that?
What she said, sister.
I said he's now going to be the designated driver everywhere he goes. He's going to, I guess, on a shift now he got them license.
Niggas don't even know. I'm going to play that role like I ain't got my license. I ain't driving these drunk ass niggas around. They can fuck out of here with that shit.
Ain't that just like a nigga? Get his shit and don't want to help the nigga. Ain't that just like you?
Hey. Hey. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I gotta leave these folks behind.
You
got your license?
I most definitely do.
Making sure everything's in order. I don't want to be talking to those people that ain't legally allowed to drive because I'm on another level. I'm about to get bougie on motherfuckers.
Oh, no, we're gonna put you on that train, nigga. What you say?
Oh shit! Oh, don't you dare! Don't you dare!
One more word, you getting the hell on that train? Say something about somebody else.
Uh oh! You gonna have to put your cool train
is coming. What about boy?
Oh, we ain't gonna do it. We ain't gonna do it.
Yes.
We ain't even gonna do it. But speaking of train, y'all know, you know what I'm saying, y'all know what's been going on here in the NFL, brothers taking a knee for justice, not about the flag, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, and brothers has been taking a stand saying, you know what, we're going to take a knee, and Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, Chucky Blaze, you can chime in when you want to, brother, your mic is live, you know, the brother Dak Prescott came out and basically... You know what I'm saying? Before I put people on a trend, I want to, like, bring it around to the panel first because a lot of people have been saying I've been putting people on a train a little bit too soon. I need to put them on a hot seat first. But my thing is some of the shit that be coming out of these people's mouths sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Because if we're as black people, we got to just stay on code. And we got to just stand for one thing. And if a nigga can't just stand for not taking a knee, you know what I'm saying? And just standing up for some shit, then I think we're live. So check out what Dak Prescott said, and we'll get right back to you. Up at Smoke Radio. Let's go.
I never protest. I never protest during the anthem, and I don't think that's the time or the venue to do so. The game of football has always brought me such a peace, and I think it does the same for a lot of people. A lot of people playing the game, a lot of people watching the game, a lot of people that have any impact of the game. So when you bring such a controversy to the stadium, to the field, to the game, it takes away. It takes away from that. It takes away from the joy and to the love that football brings a lot of people. I'm up for taking a next step, that whatever that step may be, for action and not just kneeling.
Who wants to chime in first? My mic is muted.
I mean, I can go ahead and touch on that. So the issue is whether I be in the hot seat or getting on the train for that.
Yes.
Here's what I have to say to that. Okay, and you know I'm a big football fan. I love football. I'm ready every year. Don't interrupt my Sunday with the nonsense. That's my first statement. I don't want politics in my football game. I don't want controversy on my football Sundays, Saturdays, Thursdays, or any other day. So I will start and agree with him that, you know, don't steal the joy from all of us who love football, which is an American sport. Now, second, I'm going to go ahead and say, have they ignored the one or two players from the beginning and not made it such a fiasco, we may not be sitting here talking about it right now. Because once it first all jumped off, I didn't even know what was going on. And as I'm sure most people didn't until it was a whole, you know, a whole shebang. And, you know, it got into everybody. So if you'd have just let that one person or a few people exercise their God-given right under the American flag, if you'd have just let that slide on past, it wouldn't be to where it's at now. I do agree that, you know, maybe they could use another platform for it, but I'm not so sure about that. I feel like they have the right to use any platform that they see fit. Football players, I want to give a shout-out to them all. They risk their lives, they risk their health, and everything else to play a sport just to entertain us. So that's what I have to say on that. And lastly, don't fuck up my football Sundays with the bullshit.
Miss Doctor, it's on you.
Well, I don't watch football, but I did see a little bit of that situation. And I don't know. In a way, I'm saying, like, don't put him in the hot seat, because if he don't believe in it, I mean, he didn't have to kneel. You know what I'm saying? So that was his discretion. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't have much to say about the football situation itself or that, but him not kneeling or him not wanting to kneel or him mad about the interruption. Yeah, that's his opinion, and that was his, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right, which actually goes back to, listen, it actually goes back to what I said. So let's say, like, sister don't even watch football. That's not her, you know, her sport of choice. So had they not made a whole big to-do about it, and I'm going to blame that on Trump, because until he opened his fat mouth, wasn't nobody saying nothing about it. So now you got people who aren't even really invested in it happen to have an opinion on it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, like, some of the protesters don't really even give a shit about the whole thing. They just want to just protest against Trump. Whatever Trump is saying, I'm just going to go against blindly. I don't even give a damn, because I'm like the sister. I don't watch football neither. So it's like I'm really not investing to it neither. I just see a lot of people taking a knee for solidarity and, you know, trying to get this issue out there.
For supposedly a good cause. So, I mean, kudos to them for that and taking a chance, because they were definitely taking a chance on their career with that. So, you know what I'm saying? I applaud them for that, you know, because they were taking a chance and they were standing, you know what I'm saying, in unison with it. So, yeah, but for him that didn't want to kneel and didn't feel like he should have been interrupted. Yeah.
But, like,
he didn't feel like being a hot seat for that, because that's just his opinion.
Right. When did you find out that it was a whole kneeling and whatever to debacle?
No, because the whole thing about it is, after Trump opened his thing, the whole thing, I take issue with it is because it's a double-edged thing, because you have freedom of speech either way. It works both ways. You don't have to protest,
right, so
or you can. But the thing is, the owner of the Cowboy, which the brother plays for, is saying, I don't give a damn. You guys are going to stand up. No kneeling, no standing in the damn back, no nothing, or you will be off the team or fine.
I know that's the same owner. Hold on. I know that ain't the same owner who went out there one of those weeks and knelt with his players. You can't be speaking of the one in the same.
Yeah, Jerry Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys.
So what is he talking about now? Because he got so much backlash, he had to, you know, undo that thing. He went out there and
totally
knelt with him.
So he flipped the script and basically said, hey, no kneeling, no nothing. No, like even when the Steelers play, like, you know, guys could just stay in the locker room until everything was done. You know what I'm saying? Not kneeling, not, you know, just stay in the locker room until the anthem's done, then come on out. He's saying if you play for a squad, you can't even do that.
Right, but people were still kneeling. Yeah, but what was his first take on it? He went out there with his players and knelt on the field. That was his first take on it. When it was all coming out and being a whole fiasco, like I say, he went out there and knelt. Now I'm sure he's got all type of backlash from his personal life, his business life, and everything else. So now he's retweeting and flipping the whole script. So screw him. And I think it's up to the National Football League as a company to make their rules clear and what they want, not up to each individual team, coach, and player. So if that's not done, then they have every right to kneel and do whatever else they want to do. And if every, let me just say this last thing, and if every nigga was like, oh, if we can't kneel, we ain't playing ball, there would be no football.
Absolutely would not. No sports,
at
period.
Okay. Take it further. No sports, period. Because we know we do dominate the athletic world. Anyway.
Now, I don't, you know, because I think Jerry Jones has a slave master, slave driver mentality. Just like, remember the white guy that he was the owner of the Clippers, and he was just basically telling his girlfriend, don't bring no black guys to watch the game. And his whole attitude was, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but his whole attitude was like, you know, I pay them millions of dollars, you know what I'm saying? And I'm saying that, okay, let's put it like this. Say you guys, you run a business, whatever, and you have a code, okay? Everybody come through with this uniform. And if that person doesn't wear that uniform, what do you do? Because this is your place of business, okay? I hire you to do a service for me. And, you know, their service is a place for us to provide entertaining for the people. So what would you say to, hey, I pay your wages,
I'm
and you pretty much do as you're told?
You didn't have that code. Listen, they didn't have that code already. Otherwise, like I say, it wouldn't be a discussion if that code was already in black and white. It wasn't. What made it an issue is when Trump opened up his frickin' mouth, and then it turned into a race issue. Because I don't care what you say, since Trump took presidency, and I am not against the president, everything has turned into a race issue, as did the kneeling on the field. And they didn't have no code. So what would you say? There's the answer. There was no code until niggas decided to stand together for once in their lives. Now, oops, we got to make now a code to stop this shit. We can't have too many of y'all, you know, all moving in the same direction and all agreeing on one thing. And that's what happened there. Trump opened his big mouth, period.
So, like, so majority of people probably don't give a shit about football. They just want to go against Trump. So it's like basically it doesn't matter. If Trump says it's hot outside, everybody's going to say it's cold just because he said it.
Nigga, we freezing. Now we all got on earmuffs and mittens. Hutch Trump said something. Now get your mittens out when we're sweating in 80-degree weather. Correct, but he should have not even have been in football, and he only opened his mouth because it was a nigga that knelt on that field. So you take that how you want it. That's what had happened was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
and now
feel
everybody
like this.
Feel like they got to take sides. But why the fuck we got to take sides? This is football. We love the game. And to all those people who be like, oh, yeah, you know, and them niggas, they needed to stand up and they're disrespecting the flag and they get paid millions of dollars. They can't wait to say, oh, and how much money they get paid. Do you know that any play, any one play on that field for those millions of dollars can be their life? Their paralysis and everything else, it's worth those millions. Just for, strictly for our entertainment. I don't want to hear about how much they're getting paid. They should get paid that to put their, you know, life and health on the line for our entertainment. They should get paid that so they can stop talking about how much they get paid. They just mad that there's an avenue that niggas can make as much and more money than them, period. What else you got?
Hey, you gonna put the nail in the coffin on that one? I mean, I don't think he's on a hot seat, or I don't think he's on a train. He just got an opinion. You know what I'm saying? If he doesn't want
to
protest, he doesn't
have
a protest. It is not like he was like, you know, hey man, just throwing cats under the bus. He just had an opinion on what. You know what I'm saying? He just had his opinion on, you know, hey, I don't want to protest. He didn't get up there campaigning and calling them out their names or anything like that. He just said, hey.
And actually, if you listen, what he said was, he'll get behind that movement, just not on that their platform.
Correct.
Which is the field, which is the football game. He just ain't gonna do it on that platform. But he will. He's with it on any other platform. That's what he said.
Yeah, speaking of that, and I'm gonna run a story across y'all, some shit that actually came in my personal life. You know what I'm saying? And you know how like, and again, I don't want to be reaching and shit, but I just wanted to run this. But like, you know how like you can talk to somebody white and they don't know when they said some kind of racist shit You know what I'm saying?
Know.
So,
what you talking about?
So, because I like sometimes, like when we deal with, like, say, like white supremacy and shit like that, we always think about like skinheads and KKK members and, you know, motherfuckers like that. And I'm just dealing with a mentality. You know what I'm saying? Just to make a long story short, she was telling me about a friend of hers that is addicted to heroin. And her whole campaign really was, well, at least it's not crack. Mm. And I was just thinking, like, why she keep on saying this? Because heroin's way more addictive than crack. You know what I'm saying? But I think the deep down inside, she was saying, well, at least she doesn't do what black people does. I'd rather be a heroin addict than a crackhead. And it was funny because I was sitting there and I was thinking, like, the way sometimes we get played because we be thinking of a motherfucking Grand Dragon or somebody, or just somebody with some damn swastikas on them, and don't think they have the same mentality of them. They just do it a little bit different. You understand what I'm saying?
I do understand, but in that sense, with her saying, I mean, unless she said something previously before to make you feel that type of way, just with her saying,
this is adding up. Like, this ain't like the first time. It's like,
okay,
oh, man.
Okay.
This,
see, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Other things adding up. Yeah, but just how to use scenario of at least she's not using crack. I mean, some people really think crack is the worst drug. I mean, but heroin just works as crack. You can kill yourself, you feel me, on it. So, yeah, so in that sense, I don't really think that statement was a racist statement or she was really referring to what black people do, because it's more white on crack than black, you know? But crack don't have no color. Heroin, however, when you speak on heroin, you automatically think that's a white person's drug. When you say crack, I mean, anybody can be a crackhead.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's out there, though, I think they always be equivalent, like, crack to, you know what I'm saying? Even though we know white people do it just as much as black people do it, but it's always like the images of it is black people.
You're
but
right.
My whole thing.
You're right about that. Because when they portray a crackhead on TV, 9 times out of 10, they're going to put a black person with white shit across their mouth and
right.
Dress raggedy, all kind of bullcrap. So, yeah, I feel you on that. Exactly.
Right. But I was also just kind of.
Me just being a weed smoker, you know what I'm saying? So when you say, at least it ain't crack, you know what I'm saying? Some people do always reference it. They're like, well, at least I don't do crack. Even when they smoke pot, they're like, well, at least it ain't crack. You don't crack. If you do nothing, it's all the same. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. That's why I was saying that. You know what I'm saying? As far as like not being a racist statement. But, yeah.
Sister, you kind of muffled. It's hard for me to hear what you're saying.
Hold on. Oh, I got that screen.
There you go.
Now, what you said, say that again, what you said again.
Which part?
about them portraying on TV a black person is 9 times out of 10 smoking crack.
Yeah, I understand exactly what he was mean about, you know what I'm saying, when she said, at least it's not crack, where he felt like she was saying, like, crack was a black drug, because when they portray a crackhead on TV, 9 times out of 10, it's a black person with white shit across their mouth, you know what I'm saying, raggedy dress, you know what I'm saying, looking all plump, you feel me? But I was just saying that I didn't think it was a racist statement, because some people think crack is, you know what I'm saying, like I said, the worst drug. They don't think their drug is, like, bad, even if they don't pop, you know what I'm saying, even if they're on cocaine or whatever, you know what I'm saying, they still, well, at least don't smoke crack, but, you know what I'm saying, it's equivalent to crack, so.
Right, well, I'll say this, the epidemic that's going around, and it can be to any of the states that we're all in, the epidemic is the opioid and the heroin, and that's killing
and
more people.
Than the crack, exactly. Although crack
it's the crack epidemic, but why I think smoke, the woman equates crack to being a black person's drug is because we know how it was all dropped here and came here and back in the 80s and how many black homes that it's destroyed and tore up and it's still doing it today. So I just feel she's misguided to think that, you know, it's better that her friend does heroin than crack because heroin is actually more addictive and more deadly.
More deadly, yeah.
You know, they're both two horrible drugs, but, you know, if she educated herself, she would know heroin and any opioids and opiates is more addictive and definitely more deadly than crack. But I think that's why it gets the black stigma, because that's where it ran rampant through first was the black community. And not that
right.
We have the science here making it, but, you know, just like everything else. They gonna put it there to destroy.
To destroy us.
To
right,
destroy.
Because
and
I'm saying from with her, going with the sis said she's seen the images. And again, you seen the images, you know what I'm saying? And the images are black people. Okay. Now I'm not saying that she, you know, she's, you know, whatever. She doesn't have the power to be a racist. How about that one? You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day. It's the mentality by saying those images, you know what I'm saying, you're equipped because, I mean, where I live at, there's no images of heroin addicts. There's just numbers. You don't see it. There's just numbers. It might say, okay, this one up and this one down. But there is no, you won't see nobody stringing up no needles and shit, you know, no white people stringing up needles. If you see any type of drugs, you're going to see black people doing it.
Well, I'm going to just refute that because, and even in your area, if you or anyone ever watched the show, which is everywhere, intervention, and a lot of times it is about heroin and opioids. It's always white people.
I don't watch intervention.
I
get you.
Yeah, you're one person. So the images that we see of people using opioids, they are white people. So I just think it goes to, like, anything else, like what's planted in our brains from the beginning and what biases we all have. And we all have them, whether we're racist or not. Like you say, she's not even intelligent enough to be a racist. You understand? But still, in what is implanted in her head and what she sees and how, you know, and her viewpoints and what she's heard, it's going to be a black person using crack. So I'll go ahead and agree with Sister. I don't think it was a necessarily racist comment that she made about it. She's just misguided and probably on something her own self.
See, I wasn't really there with. I was basically the mentality, okay? Now, again, you can have your thoughts without just being out there with it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that as black people, we just expect when we think of racism, we don't think about why you didn't get the job. You ought to instantly think of KKK or a skinhead or some motherfucker wearing a swastika or something. You know what I'm saying? You don't know that your everyday bus driver can be that or whatever. Because if you look at certain people, especially okay, can I have the mic?
I don't agree with that. Like if we go into a
okay,
store
can I finish? Hold on. Let me shut your mic off and let me finish my point. Now you made me lose my point. Go.
I thought I could. Like I'm saying, I don't feel like we look at racism as not necessarily skinhead, neo-Nazi, like you were saying, because like if we walk into a store, normal store, and you wait on the white man first or you make me sit for 5 minutes like you didn't see me and say, how can I help you? You know, we feel racism every day, and it doesn't have to be in an extreme. So I'm going to go ahead and disagree with that. You know, we feel racism in the smallest of things. Forget about, oh, I didn't get the job because I'm black. Because if it was a white person talking about it, then they'd be screaming affirmative action and this and that. It's the small, subtle things, like you say, in the comment she made. We just don't agree that that comment was necessarily racist because this sounds like, I mean, like you say, if she ain't even intelligent enough to be a racist, then how dare could you take a comment she say as racist? Why would you even have that enough of your energy?
I never said it was racist.
Well, that's what I heard.
So, go. I say that to say this. Shout out to my man Tariq Nasheed. And we're going to get into this clip real quick. 3 minutes.
Ever heard about it being 79 white supremacist groups in California? Let me tell you something, Jamel. Those are white extremists, card-carrying white extremists. There are millions of white supremacists out here. Don't let anybody fool you with that, making you feel like there's only 20 white supremacists over there, the skinheads. That's what white supremacy is. And I did my broadcast about this the other day, talking about how white supremacists will oftentimes beef with white extremists. Just because somebody's in the dominant society talking down on a Richard Spencer or Jared Taylor or Baked Alaska, they're talking about some of these white extremists, don't mean that they don't share the same views. That doesn't mean they don't share the same views. Like Anne Hathaway, the lady I was talking about the other day on my broadcast, the actress who was talking about Nia Wilson getting killed by that white supremacist extremist. And she started talking about, well, we white people are going to have to check our white privilege and all this white supremacy. And black folks are just all, oh, mammy, I love you. Thank you so much. Black people treat her like a white savior because she spoke out against some white extremists. I want you to understand, notice when people speak out against white extremists, I want y'all to really catch this. And we saw this a lot with the Charlottesville people. Whenever somebody speaks against the white extremists, you notice they never talk about punishing these people. When they talk about black people doing any kind of crime, they talk about what they can do to punish niggas. We need strict laws. We need three strikes. All this black crime, these Negroes committing crime, we need law and order. They're talking about law, crime, jail, punishment. We need the death penalty when it comes to black folks doing something. It's we need laws, death. They're very specific. When these people in the dominant society talk about white supremacists, it's always this vague talk. It's always like, man, these people are just ignorant. These people need to learn tolerance. What? What are you talking about? It's always what they need to learn. They need to learn acceptance. We need to check our white privilege, and we need to learn and love and know how to get along with people. It's always this old vague-ass, soft-baked bullshit that don't mean nothing. You understand? Just like in Charlottesville. In Charlottesville, when those white supremacists were coming out there killing people, the officials there were saying shit like, yeah, all of these white supremacist groups, they're not welcome here. What does that mean? Yeah, if those white supremacist groups come out here with all of that bad stuff, you know, just stop it. You need to just stop it and just go home. What? Listen, look at the language. A lot of y'all don't catch that. It's never, we're going to throw them in jail and lock them up. With us, if a black person commit a crime, we're going to do a gang sweep. We're going to use the RICO laws. We're going to get the death penalty. We're going to have the blue law matter bullshit. It's the black identity extremists, the law. They're telling you the laws they're going to use. With them, the white supremacists, when they commit a crime, well, we're going to have to take them to the African American Museum of History to teach them tolerance. It's always some old slap on the wrist ass talk. They're just going to have to turn their cars around and go that away. What? It's always some old lightweight bullshit they got with them. So I'm not impressed by none of these people. When they talk about white supremacists and you ain't talking about death penalty and punishing them, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. I don't want to hear about them. They're just ignorant and they just need to learn tolerance. They need to learn. It's always they need to learn something. It's never punish. They need to learn. They need to understand the struggle that Rosa Parks, like, shut the fuck up. That's a con game that they run on niggas. And when those people in the dominant society start talking that, y'all be, oh, Lord, oh, mammy, you really understand, white mama, you understand our struggle. And they winking at each other like, oh, we got over them niggas. They done ran a game on you. They just ran game on you with all that. Yeah, the alt-right, they're out here beating people. You know what? They need to really learn everything that Dr. Martin Luther King stood for, which was about togetherness. That's what they need to learn. Oh, thank you, white mommy. And white mommy just ran game on your ass. She didn't say nothing about locking their ass up. She didn't say nothing about putting some terroristic laws on their ass, locking them up for domestic terrorism. You never hear that type of talk. Now, they talk that with you. When y'all do something, when we do something, oh, it's throw the book at us. And black folks fall for the damn okey-doke every time. We got to stop falling for that okey-doke. The way black folks were caping for Anne Hathaway was some pathetic-ass coon shit. I'm sorry.
A lot of shit to unpack. Chocolate Snowflake, I'll go with you first. I'm just going to run it down. You go first. A lot of shit to unpack. Subject change. Go.
Well, I'm going to start by saying, okay, he beat a dead horse. I do agree with him, and I also recognize him as being the brother who had talked a couple weeks ago, and he had brought up all those issues that we strongly agreed with. I absolutely agree with him 100%. They do not make laws for the whites like they do for us. Three strikes, you're out. Whatever, all the drug laws that they have for us, this, that, and the next. But the one thing he missed when he kept bringing up Charlottesville and how the white supremacists came out, he missed the fact that when he's talking about the officials, how about the president came out and was like, cuckoo, ca-choo, that both of you were wrong. Now both of you, you know, let's play nice. That was the big, you know, the big speaking point to America was that, okay, that's okay. You're wrong, and you're wrong too. So he left that out. That's what I have to say about that. I definitely agree with him. They need laws for that type of behavior. But they ain't going to make nothing new. Like, this is a racist America that we live in, so we're not in shock and awe. But that was a good point he brought up.
My bad. But yeah, I agree too. I agree wholeheartedly with what he says. And it's not that they should make any new laws, it's just that the same laws that they made first should apply to them. We were just speaking on that last week that, you know what I'm saying, the laws that, you know what I'm saying, were made were strictly for black people. They should just apply the same laws to them. So
correct.
But it definitely goes to show they get their first chance. I thought Chris was gonna speak on that. From last week.
Right, yes, right. I hear what you're saying, sister girl.
Yeah, their slap on the wrist is always their first chance. Why don't we ever get that slap on the wrist when we're doing something, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it just goes to, yeah. Just
as I said last week, so yes. I mean, that's nothing new. That's what they do. But again, for us to open our eyes to it and not run and support these Anne Hathaways, even though I'm not familiar with that, you know, particular instance, but hey, it's nothing new.
No, she just pretty much came out challenging the system and pretty much said, hey, we got to, as white people, we got to start checking ourselves, checking white privilege and things of that nature. And, you know, but again, you didn't say, hey, these people need to be locked up. People doing this stuff needs to be locked up. It was basically, you know, that whole.
Correct. She didn't check shit. She ain't checked shit. And that's
basically probably
a
publicity stunt just to get her name back out there. Because, I mean, or
thank
who knows.
You. Thank you.
Just
change,
become relevant for whatever reason.
Yep. Maybe she just adopted
because
a black baby from Somalia or something, like how you know how they do. But she
what do you
talk
think
about
that?
About it.
Why does all these celebrities go all the way over to Africa and get a black child? If you want to get a black child, you can get some from the inner city
right
or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know the answer to that already, because then they ain't got nobody coming back and, you know, fighting for their kid and having their kid in their life. You know, you go get a baby from over there, you know, over a poor country, they ain't got no way to, if they wanted to see their baby or fight for them or anything else after they done adopted them, to do that. They don't have to go through all the hoops and loops that we have to go through over here, whether you're a foster parent or you're adoptive parent over here in the States. All the hoops they make you jump through and all your business they want to dig into and this and that. You could be them raised 20 goddamn doctors in your family. But yet you want to help one foster child, you got 1,000 hoops that's going to be extra hard hoops to jump through over here. So they could go over there, you know, take them a black baby or any other race of baby and do what they want with it. So that's the answer to that. And, I mean, I'm not knocking it, because go give anybody else a chance and a better life if you can. Shout out to all the foster and adoptive parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah, shout out to them. Sometimes I think they get the black kids too to sort of that'd be their way to let people know, like, I'm not racist. I don't know. That is my thought on it. You know what I'm saying? Because how can I be racist regardless of what I see or do when I'm raising a black kid? So, I don't know.
Yeah, you said it.
But that could be true also, but we also don't live with them to know what they're doing with them children. Because
right,
if you get a child from Somalia, their shit is probably not as sterile as it is in the United States. So they might just drop the kid off. Ain't nobody checking up on it, especially if it's like a refugee or something. You know, it's a refugee. It probably doesn't even know, you know, mother, father, grandfather.
You're right about that.
So
once again, it falls back to a publicity stunt or something, just something to keep their name ringing, like they're doing something, you know, something good.
Or they're bringing these kids over here undocumented as they are, you know, even their little bit of paperwork, because they can use them as sex slaves, they can use them as house slaves, you know, olden day slaves.
You're right, whatever.
It's all about it. Yes, and it's still a better life than kids have come from. So for all those reasons, that's why they go get them.
Now, and I heard this from Dr. Umar Johnson, and it was basically like, if I'm from a third world country, right? I ain't got no one in water, and I'm over here in this mansion. I made it. And the only thing I got to do is just clean up after people every now and then. I get three square meals a day. I'm clothed. The only thing I got to do is wipe shit down. I don't even got to go to school. I don't got to do nothing.
And mind you,
but just clean this shit up and go to this room.
They're very grateful for whatever they give them, whatever they're very grateful. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Because, mind you, I'm not washing clothes over here in a washing machine and not scrubbing it on the washboard by hand. So, yes, they're always going to be grateful.
I'm going to, like, tell, because as far as they're concerned, they made it.
Who they finna tell, though? Who they finna tell?
And they don't even speak English.
Damn. You can. Probably
and
know three words. Yes, no. Put it down. Clean that.
Right, but even if they do teach them English, how are they going to contact their poor family from another country? They may not even have phones over there. You ain't got running water.
You're a refugee. Let's just put the scenario out there. You're a refugee. Your whole city got bombed. You're just done from your extended family. You get picked up from the Red Cross or something.
Your whole
city. Somebody
dead.
Adopts you.
And now it's just you. Who you tell?
There's nobody there to look out for you.
Right. No one's doing follow-up work on you. No one's checking in every 2 weeks, every month to see how you're doing and how, you know, nobody's doing that. So for
it's almost like get out in real life. You know what I mean? It's almost like get out in real life because they get taken away, you know what I'm saying, and they don't know. They just get
brainwashed to whatever family they and they're just brainwashed
because
to whatever
really
lifestyle of the family that they're
living. If you really look at it, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, sis. Continue.
No, you're good.
No, but if you really look at it, now, you know, I don't follow it all like that, but you never see the children after a certain age. Like, you never see them after they go to college and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like you see them as their children, and then they just disappear. You don't see them becoming whatever you think they're supposed to come. Like, okay, they're living with a celebrity, so they're going to have access to the best education. They're going to be going to private schools. They're going to be going to this and this and that and the other. But you never see, like, the actual results. I never did.
Well, that's not true. That's not true, because then I'll just use
educate me.
One of the first and one of the well-known, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, that black little baby Zaria that they went and got. You can still see her now and flourishing. She's like a teenager, maybe, you know, I'm not sure or anything, but at least 17. You know, she's older now, but they got her when she was a baby. You can read up on that, but I don't know about anything else. But I'm sure there's so many others who are not celebrities that, no, you do not see, you know, the aftermath of their life since they came here. And those are the nanny children who are, you know, house slaves and don't know no better. So that's all I got on that.
Mm.
What else you got?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
What else I got?
I got this, man.
I have something that really kind of, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, a lot of times we forget about stuff. I don't, you know, especially, you know, my market is trash. I'm in Pennsylvania, so I don't live in a big market. So a lot of this stuff doesn't get to me. And I heard this sister kind of spit this poem today. And I want you to check it out, 30 seconds long. And I'm sure that Chance will probably get where she's going with this. Let's get it.
I just got back from Flint.
Yeah.
That Flint. I saw that dirty water with my own eyes. But not to my surprise, Governor Snyder, you're not much of a provider. 'Cause Flint ain't fixed. Flint ain't fixed. Flint ain't fixed. Flint ain't fixed. The children up there are sick. The lead in the water is thick.
Shout out to people in Flint, man. I hope you're doing, hope you can power through the way you can power through. We all know as human beings, that's the essential thing we need is water. I don't know what's going on up there. I haven't even followed up on it, but me hearing this and then doing a little research and seeing the situation is still the situation up there that is sad. And just shout out to Flint, man. And hopefully the people power through that, man. Any of these guys got to say anything on the Flint situation? Flint, Michigan, water still fucked up up there.
Yeah, that's truly a sad situation that they haven't done nothing after all this time. I mean, it's been years since that came out. What can they actually do, though? What do Flint, what do we have, like well water? I mean, what can they do to make it better? Because that's just crazy.
I think they just need a whole new system, which is going to cost trillions of dollars. So whatever the water is going through, I mean, some of the water is still brown, looking like it's almost sewer water. You know, people don't have filtration systems. And that's another thing, people, I want to say out there, man, if you have to learn how to garden, do shit like that, because if you can't feed yourself or, you know what I'm saying, that's when you're really fucked. So I don't know how to do it, get you some type of filtration system for water, because the shit they're putting in water these days and it's just crazy.
Exactly. I was going to say, because I don't even trust the clear water that comes through our system. So, but yeah, that's sad that they, you know what I'm saying, the water is still dirty like that. It's still messed up.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to Kanye on this one when he said back in the Katrina days, Bush don't care about black people. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead
and
say.
And Kanye don't neither.
He don't either, yeah.
Okay, excuse me. I was only giving a shout out for that one line. Bush don't care about black people. So to the sister giving the poem, Mayor Snyder don't care about black people. And I'm going to add on with, black people don't care about black people. Need I expound? I don't think I have to. Are you telling me the Flint? And that's shocking. It was shocking for me to just hear that poem and clip from her. You know, that's shocking to hear that this problem has still not been resolved. But like you said, everybody, you know, and these celebrities and this and all that with their money, we seen for a little minute they was bringing truckloads of bottled water. That was nothing to do with their whole water and irrigation system up there. So nobody's doing nothing. So anybody that has money or influence from up there needs to get there, speak out, and have that shit corrected. And it's sad that they're still dealing with that, as are so many. I can't even imagine what's still going on down in New Orleans with that Katrina mess and all the displaced people. I'm sure that ain't done either. I'm damn sure Puerto Rico ain't fixed either. Ain't none of it fixed. So until we worry about what's here and what's going on and what's broken and try to fix it with our money or power or influence, until we do that, I don't want to hear about nothing else. Shout out to Flint. Sorry, y'all. sorry.
If you're passionate about it, get your shit off. You know what I'm saying? Get your shit off. My thing is about it is it's sad because if like we're kind of told what to think about and shit, you know what I'm saying? If it ain't mainstream media or if you're just not a researcher, these are stories you probably
Not affecting us. Let's say that. Or if it's not affecting us, because Flint is not affecting my water. So me as a black person, do I even know what the hell is going on in Flint right now? And I'm sorry and sad to say no that I don't. And I just learned that shit still ain't fixed. I'm sorry I can't do anything about it, me personally, but maybe I can maybe write to, you know, our congressmen or write to the Flint mayors and the city leaders, but, you know, I can't
they
do
know,
anything.
So what you want?
Whoever can.
Yeah, they know.
But, right, whoever can, get up and do something about Flint. Are you kidding me? Get Flint together.
Now,
I
agree with you on the fact that all these celebrities with all this money, whatever, somebody could have got together or even separately, you know what I'm saying? If one person, you know what I'm saying, just even like Beyonce or somebody with money like her can go and just like buy the whole irrigation, really buy the whole city, the whole,
correct.
Yeah, buy the whole irrigation city or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and try to get that, you know what I'm saying, situated but, or rectified. But yeah,
well,
like she said, no
Oprah,
one cares.
Oprah, can you fix Flint? Flint is not fit. What the sister said.
My whole thing
fit.
About it, if we have to make sense out of it and say it might take a group effort and say, okay, say if the celebrities got together, but they just can't
they just can't
buy the shit. It would take our government to, you know, say, okay, if you just do this, we'll give you some type of tax break or something like that, because they just can't just go flat out and buy some shit because they'll end up getting taxed, or just to keep it going. Cost money.
Yeah.
So the government would step in and give them some type of incentive.
They don't necessarily have to buy, but they could have donated, you know, donated to help get, you know, the situation fixed by now or something.
Yeah, because we're talking
people did.
We don't actually even know what it takes.
That and that's why I say what exactly could be done, because I mean, I'm sure someone probably checked into that. Just there's nothing no one can do. Probably.
Yeah, people did donate, but those are tax write offs. You know what I mean? You can write that off on your taxes.
Right.
That's temporary. Bottles of water are temporary. You know what I'm saying? That's just basically putting a Band-Aid on a hole, you know what I'm saying, of a boat. You know what I'm saying? It, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's still, you know, no pun intended,
yeah,
it's still going to be water coming in that boat. That's just going to give some people some temporarily relief, and relief is relief, but we're talking about in the long run. You know what I mean? Because
yep.
It's still,
it's
people still can't shower.
No one gives a fuck in the long run. That's what it comes down to. No one gives a fuck. What your homeboy just said, what the homeboy you did, we just had the clip on about Anne Hathaway, when he said once we first realized nobody gives a fuck about you. Nobody gives a fuck about Flint. Anyway. All I
got to
say on Flint,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, do you.
No, I'm calling Eminem. Flint, nigga.
Do you? And Flint is in Michigan. If any, you know, people don't know where that's at. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's right there where
Aretha Franklin.
Everything used to be
made
at Motown. You dig? I mean, at the end of the
day. Gordy Berry, Six Flint. Or what was his name? What's the Motown dude? Six Flint. Somebody.
Barry Gordy.
Barry Gordy. Six Flint.
Barry.
Y'all all come out of Michigan. Six Flint. One of you Jackson. Six Flint. You feel me? That's what I'm
talking about. The Jacksons are from Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, they're from Gary, but Motown made them. So, Six Flint. Anyway, moving right along, because we're sorry for Flint. I don't have the answers for Flint, but let's always keep awareness open to Flint.
Yeah, yeah, we've got to keep it awareness, because at the end of the day, if we don't talk about it, no one will. You dig what I'm saying? And basically, and that's the thing where, you know what I'm saying, I could just kind of parlay this into this, because you just know that weed is becoming legal, you know what I'm saying, and everything is going on with this weed thing. And are you just familiar with Freeway Ricky Ross, the real one?
No.
But anyway, it's no consequence,
know,
but you know, back when. But I was listening to an interview, and basically what's going on is that basically they're not letting black people in this whole weed game. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is, who smokes more weed than black people? You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, these dispensaries are just popping up in the middle of the hood, but they're not owned by black people, and they're not really giving us the drop on how to get in the game. You understand what I'm saying?
Actually, do know this. The only black-owned dispensary is in Colorado. It's a husband and his wife, and they are actually the only ones. So
there's actually a black-owned dispensary in West Palm. I mean, where I'm from too. And yeah, and he was actually speaking to me and my friend about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he was speaking to me and my friend about, you know what I'm saying, like setting up shop and, you know what I'm saying, really trying to open up another one and all this and that. So, and turn his into a, he had a lot of different ideas. I just went blank. But yeah.
And like
you said,
they're going to put him. I was just agreeing, like with anything else, they're going to put him, if you say there's a black-owned dispensary in your town, they're going to put him through so many hoops, like they would someone here trying to get a child. They're going to put them through so many hoops to make it, you know, unattainable and so hard to get. You understand what I mean? They're going to put those blockers up. So, I mean, you know.
I don't know the actual number, but it was like I was going to freestyle it, but I'll just do it because I'm a numbers guy.
I got that going. I'm in the cannabis industry. You know,
okay.
I'm pushing the social equity in LA right now because I feel that more blacks should be allowed to participate in the cannabis industry. Right now it's a white industry, and I feel that blacks should have equity, especially in our neighborhoods. You know, they're getting ready.
Especially the biggest consumers of something.
Yeah, they're getting ready to bring dispensaries to our. Well, they already got dispensaries in our neighborhood, and there was only 3 blacks that had licenses in the whole Los Angeles.
Wow.
So I thought that those numbers are ridiculous, and that they should make more opportunity for blacks. Matter of fact, I'll be speaking in front of LA City Council tomorrow about why social equity is so important. To the industry as a whole, because I don't believe that the industry is going to function without allowing us to participate in not only the consumption, but also in the business aspect.
Yeah.
You know, let us make some money off of it. You know, don't just hire whites in the industry, because it's not a white industry. A white-only industry, let me say that.
And I have to agree. And I just look at like
you hear
he
what
said.
He
there
said.
Was only 4 licenses given out in the whole
First
city
of
Los Angeles.
First of all, he said three, and he said licenses, not actual up and running dispensaries. I'm telling you what I know about how many black owned dispensaries there is. And sister said there may be one in her area that is black owned. I can't speak on that, but one, and I'll wait while you Google it, because just because they have license, they don't have an up-and-running dispensary.
I mean, that's even going to the point. So out of 3, you only got the license to do it, but you can't even...
Only 3 in all of L.A. have a license. Only, right, because they have every other hoop to go through. Okay, I got the license. Now what do I do with this license? You know, you can have a license for anything, and I got a license to, I don't know, work on cars.
To drive, but are you driving? No, I'm just playing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There you go. Right. I could drive. I'm saying that.
Yeah, I got a license to drive, but I ain't got no car.
But are you driving? Yes. Now,
right.
You got a license, but are you driving, my nigga? Okay. So, licenses and up and running dispensaries are two different things. And they and trust and believe and don't act like niggas don't got the drop on it all. But now if they make this business legal, that's just one more foot in the door for niggas to whoop crackers ass at something legal. And they know they'll get their ass whooped at it. So are they going to allow it? Well, if the law says, but are they going to make it hard as hell? Damn straight. That's all I got on that. I tell you what, before we get behind, you know, some licensing and weed and this and that, let's get Flint some clean water. We want to get beyond anything. Can we get Flint some clean water at all?
My thing about legalization, are they going to let the people that's in jail out right now? Like, you know, once you legalize it, All those sentences should be expunged and those people should be released if they follow state and federal guidelines. And I think that's a problem too, because you're about to let out a whole bunch of free labor.
But that's why they're not going to just legalize it to where it's legal for any, you know what I'm saying, as a recreational drug. It's still going to be medicinal, you know what I'm saying? You have to need it, you know what I'm saying? You can't just go and, it's not like we're going to be able to walk around and smoking all in their face or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, they're not going to let everybody out.
Right. And all the people that are in jail for it did not do it the legal way, or, oh, it wasn't legal then, or whatever, you know, oh, it was too much, or, oh, you didn't sell it the right way, oh, you didn't do this or that. So, no, they're not going to let all of them out until they just legalize it, period, and not just for medicinal purposes. So the answer, Smoke, is no. They're not going to let them out.
Well, Colorado is a recreational use state, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
There's certain states that are recreational that probably they can tax it like they do cigarettes or something like that.
No, I don't want to say it's recreational. Let me take that back. I feel like it's still medicinal there. It's just legal, and it has been for some time. Parts of California and Colorado, well before, you know, we've made these strides in letting it medicinally legal in other states, they already had that. So, no, it still doesn't cover, like Sister said, the recreational use. Their laws still don't.
It's five states.
However
it's
many. 2016. You mean just
Oregon?
Now? Or
no, since.
Right.
No, this is the rules. Yeah. Additional
Northwest
states, Oregon, Alaska, Maine, Nevada, Massachusetts, D.C., and Colorado.
So two states up the Northeast. D.C. is just now allowing it? Because I'm certain it wasn't just allowed there. Either way, like, who knows? Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is that just something I don't really care to do?
On the way, we're not.
But
we've never
heard them letting any criminals out because of any weed charges. I mean, nevertheless.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the main question. We
exactly,
have to
and it's legal in California.
Who's
I'm sure
legal
there's plenty.
Who's not.
You're sure there's plenty what?
I was saying it's legal in California, and I'm pretty sure there's plenty of criminals in California that. Previous weed charges, and I've never heard of any of them getting out, you know what I'm saying, because it became legalized. Because at the end of the day, even if they legalize it, like, pretend they legalize weed today to be recreational, you know what I'm saying, where I'm at. I mean, you still committed a crime at the time, you know what I'm saying, you in jail now on a weed charge, you still committed a crime at the time, it was illegal, you feel me? So,
right.
Why would you get out? You broke the law at that time.
You wouldn't. We already told him no. The answer's no to his question. The answer is no. They got to let too many motherfuckers out of jail just about weed. You know how many niggas they got locked up just on weed charges? You know how many niggas they got smudged records just on weed charges alone? Just that alone. Nothing violent.
I was going to say, now I would say, as petty as weed is, they shouldn't be suspending nobody's license for a weed charge. Now that's what I don't like.
Girl, they suspended for child support. So can you imagine? Oh, I got a child you want me to support, but I can't drive to go make money to support them. So good luck with that fucking battle.
That's the whole thing about it. And the thing is, and that's the
if you
want
child
right
support,
now,
you need your license taken, because you shouldn't even have to be on child support. You should be taking care of your child without having to be told to, in my eyes. But, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I hear that, too. I hear that, too. Yeah, right. Both ways, because nobody should have had to tell your ass you had to take care of the kids. I don't know, you know. Should it affect the license, and now you can't vote, cause it, again, it just all goes back to the laws were designed to keep niggas down, period.
Definitely, to break us.
Until we're talking and we're out there, writing and talking to our Congress and our actual lawmakers, nothing's going to change. So until someone wants to, start a whole fight for that, like, let's go and, fight for all these issues, like, have a list of issues and go to Congress and the Senate and fight for these things. Nothing's going to change. It has to be in the law. It has to be the law. And right now, the laws are stacked against niggas. And I mean stacked. You hear me? And if we could go find out, well, what did super duper stack? Well, what did y'all have to go through to get that three strikes and you're outlaw? What did you have to go through, back in the Reagan era, this whole drug thing? What did, they have to go through to get these here laws passed? Let's go back and look at some of those steps and try to take those same steps to get some of these, newer issues enacted and into law and stuff. But who's going to step out
like
and do
at the
that
end of the day,
after?
With stuff like that, there's always new stuff on the board. Like, like even with from the 9/11, like the Patriot Act and shit like that, that shit is still on the board where they could just check your emails and shit for no fucking reason. And nobody repealed that shit. So once it's an action, it's an action. And it takes years and years and years
for
that shit to get off the board.
We set up Ben, but who the fuck is bringing up one of these to the front table? Who's putting this on the docket for, we have an election coming up next month? Which one of these public officials have this type of issue on their docket? We're worried about, this immigration thing. We're worried about, tax laws and who's putting the shit that really affects us on the docket? Nobody. Nobody's doing it. You doing it, Smoke? I'm not doing it. Who's bringing this up?
Get out of here, you damn nigga!
I'm doing what I can do by talking on the show.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're limited here. Or are we?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Smokey for bringing awareness to so many issues that should be America's issues and not the talk now. So, I'm going to say that. Anyway, what else you got on that?
This is what I do got. I got a real quick music break where I go use the bathroom. This is Up and Smoke Radio. I'll be right back. This is Long Low. Oh shit. Holla.
I guess if I'm gonna consider myself the best, I guess I gotta prove myself then, right? Bars, bitch. Introducing young Long Low. I was meant for music, I was meant to do this. And since I spit crack in my music, they arrested me for distribution. I'm always on your girl's cam, she addresses me as Mr. Newton. You freeze up when you're under pressure. Say you meant to move, so you missed the movement. I estimate that you're under me, so how you gonna underestimate me? If that's the case, then this case is closed, cause I'm closing cases. No detective, baby. It's funny how you're at the top, but I ain't seen you in my section lately. I know where I'm going, nigga. You should follow my directions, maybe. I met a bitch, we fucked around, kept her around. around cause her sex is great. She's smart as hell, got a good job, and still found a way to get Section 8. I got a job, almost got fired cause I snapped out when my check was late. And you're late on a regular, so how the fuck you gon' regulate? You're playing like air, you're an airplane. You freeze up when the light's on, you got their brain. You niggas don't wanna battle me, y'all scared, man. You sell crack and I spit crack, that's fair game, let's get it. Niggas do dumb shit and get booked, that's not book smart.
Not book smart.
I paint pictures in my song like I took art.
I'm an artist, nigga.
Got a girl plug and her name Alicia, but she only fuck with the weed. That means she don't fuck with the keys, she's push start. Get it? Please tell me where my competition.
Where they at, nigga?
Acting up and you're pre-comer, you comprehended?
You get it, nigga?
You a son of a bitch. Oops, is your mom offended?
Your mom's a bitch.
Say it again like Pinky, nigga. Does that make me a repeat offender?
Nah.
I kill tracks and I don't think it's a crime. You fuck 2 5-star niggas, but that don't make you a damn. You brought a watch with your rap check, but that don't mean it's your time. I ignored the bitch when I flew past, and I ain't talking no swine. You get it, swine flu, you better expand your mind. I'll bend backwards for my niggas, and I need to handle my spine. I even handle some of they business before I'm handling mine. My bars pick apart brain cells, I'll dismantle your mind. I'm the best rapper in PA, my nigga, it's my time. I can rap over any beat, and this beat is my kind. No Chief Keef, no Trinidad, when I rap, understand me. No auto-tune, no cartoon, no SpongeBob, and no Sandy. My daughter ain't watching none of that, no cartoon. And no candy, just academics and sports. And time to visit her granny. My baby mom think I ain't shit until I win me a Grammy. I'm dedicated, I got a job, I sell pack, no granny. I told my dad I'll never quit and I'll always pack me a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, a plan E, F, and G. I'm a damn G.
I'm a damn G. I'm a damn G.
I'm a damn G.
I'm a damn G.
I'm a damn G. And since I'm a damn G, I ate your eye. Ate your eye with this J, nigga. And now homeboy don't wanna fight, so he went and grabbed his K, nigga. Damn, niggas can't fight anymore. Thanks to my ex, bitches don't get wifed anymore. Shout out to all these niggas that's gon' wife any whore. And that's why you gon' spend the rest of your life living poor.
Cause it's money over bitches. Money over bitches. Money over bitches, nigga. Money over bitches.
And I'm back. And we done got into the motherfucking conversation so long and so deep. We done went overdrive. Show should have been over 15 minutes ago. And I would, again, want to thank the Soul Sisters. Soul Sisters. For sliding through on a check-in. Hold on, where's my shit at, man? And again, you can check out Soul Sisters here every Thursday at 6 o'clock here on Up Smoke Radio. And we will go to the Dread Doctor. Tell people how to get in contact with you, all that good shit, so they can get their hair twisted up and get them themselves fly for the weekend.
You say what?
Go ahead.
They can get fly for the weekend.
I know, that's right. You can contact me at The Dread Doctor on call, all one word, on Facebook or Instagram and Twitter. The Dread Doctor on call. Creating miracles one dread at a time.
All one word.
And I do interlocks. That's the difference between what I do. Most of y'all just do that palm twist and where that, you know what I'm saying, where that shit just unravel. You know what I'm saying? When you get your hair done by me, you can go swimming, lay up, do whatever, you know what I'm saying? And you ain't got to worry about that unraveling or that frizziness, you know what I'm saying, up 2 or 3 months. So check me out. Check out my work.
No twist, no clip. Mm-hmm. No hair dry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How you getting long hair? I don't care.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
And you can find Chocolate Snowflake on Backpage. You know what I'm saying?
Under Chocolate Thunder.
33-2. Go ahead and
it's shoot chocolate
a little inbox, something like that.
33-2.
Oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. So go ahead and
that's what you couldn't find me.
Yeah, there it is. So let's go ahead and switch your game, make your next move your best move.
Yes,
and again, this is your boy.
You're now. Thanks for always having me.
Yes.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
For sliding through. All right. Always.
Over and out. It's over and out.
Shout out to
Roger.
The show sisters. Roger, Dodger, all that. Oh, hold on. Listen to you. Shout out to the soul sisters once again.
Okay. See, I was jamming.
Right, me too. Don't touch
it. In the middle of a cabbage patch.
Can't hear that song without shaking a tail feather. Nah.
Not
you did.
Tell a friend to tell
a friend.
Tell
a motherfucking friend. Tell a friend, and all that. We'll be here next Thursday, 6 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? You can check me on Instagram, Smoke for Mayor, YouTube, Mr. Smoko, H2O, Twitter, Smoke for Mayor, and Instagram at Chad Hawkins. I mean, Facebook at Chad Hawkins III. Peace out, peoples.
Shout out, Chuck. Bye, y'all.
Goodbye.
Live from the land of snakes. With the same nigga playing your weight. Want to give your hands a shake. Bitch, we got bands to make. Rubber bands to break. Guns and butter. That land on lake. Got bread. Got plans to break the Brooklyn way. When Tony killed Manolo, had to look away. It's a war going on. Starting to look like yay. A power on is battle torn, thou should not kill. When diamonds is dancing, spending time in the Hamptons, building shrines in these mansions. Dance from the tropic of Cancer, the topic of Tantra. Heavy breathing on top for the mantras, throwing ballads with mandalas encrypted. Cabal of the scriptures, fuck Twitter, only follow the mystics, the dons to put hollow in the biscuits. Across from the Apollo is the district. I'm in the Nile Valley, Crocodile Valley. The latest Maury, the greatest story. The haters worry with the poor me, pity parties. Got the porta potties for the shit you kicking. The reaction at its best was knee jerk. Creep to put your debut on a t-shirt. Niggas co-sign the fuckery. These suckers be acting three-fifths of a man. Co-signing Mike Huckabee. On the low like how the fucker be. Luckily, none of these niggas ever fuck with me. Fucker be. My prospect is designed. My mind is psychotically designed. A prophet of the time. My pockets is aligned with property for shrines. My grind is monopoly. My mind with prophecy in mind. I'm in a hideaway, wide awake, listening to chants of roosters. Aligned with the mind of Mansa Musa. Enhance the future. Wars of the Mansa future. Gabbing in Dubai, we dance the future. When it's time to be a scorpion, Kevorkian. To those who don't share the sentiment, death to all you simpletons.